The last time we learned Chulin a while ago was Yud Aleph. We left off on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, I think. On Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the second line from the top. Oh, thank you. Second line from the top. So the Gemara poses the question. We already did the much of this. The Gemara poses the question. Minoha Milsa Dom Rabban and Zil Basa Ruba. How do you know that we follow Raif? When you have a situation, you don't know exactly what the facts are. So, whatever the mathematical probability is, you go according to probabilities. If there's a Raif, so we have the right to assume that it's not called the Suffolk anymore. We have the right to assume that whatever the probability is, those are the facts. So the Gemara says, how do you know? What's the Mokar HaChumish? The Gemara says, what do you mean, how do you know? I mean, hold on. It's a Beferish of Pasuk Dichsivach Rabban Lahatis. Pasuk and Pashas Mishpatim talks about a split vote and a bezin. For Didin the Foshas, you have to have a Sanhedrin of 23. For Didin Mammon, you need a bezin of 3. So let's say they don't all, there isn't a unanimous vote. The 23 have a split vote. 13 say one way, and 10 say the other way. So how do you know that you go Basarayv? Or you have a split vote in Didin Mammon, it's 2 to 1. So the Gemara said, that's the Pasuk, Acha Rabban Lahatis. It says, Beferish, you follow Roiv. So what kind of a silly question are you asking? Minolon, Minoha Milsa Dom Rabban, how do we know? A source what the rabbi said, that you always follow the probability, the Roiv. It's a Beferish of Pasuk. Yeah. The Gemara says, if it'll be unanimous Lechiyuv, then you don't give him the death penalty.
But don't you need a majority of 2?
Yeah. To give the death penalty, you need a majority of 2. So let's say you have 13 to 10. 13 say chayiv. If let's say it's 12 to 11 and 12 say pater, so you follow a majority of 1 to pater. But to be mechayiv means if 12 say chayiv and 11 say pater, so you don't give them the death penalty. Yosifa, you add on another 2 dayan. They may be split, so they'll have 13 to 12. So vayta toignish. Keep on adding and adding 2. Keep on adding always 2. Till you reach 71. You're not allowed to have a bezin more than 71. If it comes to 71 and no one budges in it, and it's still split, and you just have a roiv of echad, so the guy's pater. Okay, he can't give him the death penalty. L'chayiv misa, you need a roiv of 2. Depends what aveira he did. Kippur is an unofficial death. If you want to give skila straight for herik chenek, so you have to go with the books. You have to go according to the rules and regulations. And you need a majority of 2. If it's only 12 to 11, then you don't give the death penalty. Let's say it'll be, what is it, 71. So you have 36 to 35. 36 say chayv misa. 35 say pata. He won't give the death penalty. So it depends what kind of an avera did he do that we're fighting whether he's chayv misa or not. So if it's clear that he murdered somebody, the only question is details of the case. Maybe there's some hitch while he's pata, but it's clear that the fellow's a murderer. Then we'll give him an unofficial death penalty. We'll lock him up in a room and let him starve to death. We won't give him any food. That's called keeper. Konsumos of a keeper. Keeper is a prison. You lock him up and let him starve to death. But if he's Mechal Shabbos or he did something else, so then the Mishnah says only if he repeated the same Avera 3 times in a row, then we give him over the head. Only if he does an Avera Sheesh Bokaris and he repeats it 3 times, then you put him into keeper. But a murderer, you put into keeper, we got to save the society. You have to preserve the society. Brola Misa Yafa is when you give an official death penalty, so everything has to be according to the books. You have to have a Bekovedika form of Misa. But this is an unofficially, we're bumping the guy off. It's Gram Ritzicha. Ritzicha is if I kill him. Here, I just don't give him any food, I lock him up, he can't get any food. So that's Gram Ritzicha. So the Gram Ritzicha is for sure not a Misa Yafa, but we got no choice. Yeah. So the Gemara says, what kind of a question are you asking? How do you know that you have the right to follow whatever the probability is? It's the Chapostik and Chumash, Achrab Lahatas. Gemara answers no. The Pasuk and Chumash is talking about Ruba de Yisakamon. You have a split vote in a Bezdin, it's 13 to 10, or it's 2 to 1. That's a Ruba de Yisakamon. You count up on your fingers. The 13 dayanim say this way, 10 dayanim say the other way. Or the Gemara says, Rubidi said, come on, if the rov is in front of our eyes, right under our noses, kagon. Teshu chanuyas v'sanhedrin. Sanhedrin means a split vote of 13 to 10. Teshu chanuyas, Rashi refers it to the Gemara, the end of the first parak in Ksuvas. Teshu chanuyas, a famous brisa. There were 10 butcher shops in the city. Nine of them sell kosher flesh, and one sells nevela flesh, non-kosher meat. So, and someone is walking in the street, and he sees a package of meat. So, sometimes it says on the package, McDonald's, or it says Moshe's, or it says Schreiber's. So if it says on the package the name of the store, so you know, it's based on what it says in the package. That's what it is. Let's say they don't have any labels. The kosher store, the trefir store doesn't have any labels on the packages. Everybody just takes it home in a bag. So if you find basa hanimtza, you find flesh in the city, in the street, and you don't know whether it came from the kosher store or the trefir store, so if nine stores sell kosher meat and one store sells trefir meat, that's called teisha chanuyas mochas basa shruta. So you go basarayv. It's interesting in the Shulchan Aruch, the Chavos Das says, what if the one store that sells the nevela flesh sells 10 times as much volume than all the 9 stores together? Does it depend on the volume of flesh that's sold, or does it depend on the number of stores? So the Chavos Das claims it depends on the number of stores. It doesn't depend on the, I would have said not so. But I don't know, he gives some kind of an explanation. It's complicated.
Is that very similar to Egel Arufa? When you have the population of a new one, it's more than also try like that.
That's Roiv and Karev.
Yeah.
That's Roiv versus Karev. Here it's Roiv versus Roiv. Which Roiv should win? Which way do you say Roiv? 9 stores sell kosher meat, 1 store sells treif meat, so the odds are 9-1. But you say, no, each kosher meat store only sells 100 pounds a day. And the non-kosher meat store sells 5,000 pounds of meat every day. So it's, the rave is that way. It was the question, which is the rave? There, by Egla Rufa, you find a person, you find a Jewish body murdered in Eretz Yisrael, no da mihiko, we don't know who murdered him. So the Chumash says you have to measure to the cities that are closest to the dead body, to the murdered person. And the city that's closest, we assume the murderer probably came from that city. So the people in that city need a kapara, because the murderer came from them. So the Gemara raises the question, what if the city that's closest has a population of 150 people, and then there's a city further away that has thousands of thousands, that's 9 million people in the city. So Roiv or Karev, which is the better Birim? So the Gemara says, Roiv is a better Birim than Karev. The murder probably came from the big city that has the 9 million people, not from the city that's so close that only has 150 population. So the Gemara asks, but the Pasuk doesn't seem to say so. Pasuk says you just measure to the cities that are closest, and the closest city brings the Egla Rufa. And Gemara works on that issue. But here it's a question, how do you establish which way the Rav is? The probability, the odds are 9-1 because there are 9 kosher stores as opposed to 1 non-kosher store? Oh no, the odds are 50-1 because the non-kosher store sells 50 times as much meat as all of the 9 kosher stores together. Which way is the Rav? So that's the reference to Teisha Chanuyas. That's a Rubadisa Kamon. Here the 10 stores in the city, you see where they are. Or the Sanhedrin, here there are 23 people in the Sanhedrin. Each one expresses his opinion, and it's a split vote of 13-10. So that's called Rubadisa Kamon. That's a Pasuk Lokam and Boilam. We never had a Shaila about Rubadisa Kamon. That's a Pasuk and Chumash and Parshas Mishpatim. Achar Abnahat is Kikam and Boilam. What were we asking? On the second line from the top, what were we asking? Minoha Milsa. How do you know what the Rabbanan said? You go Basarai. We're asking about Ruba de Leisa Kamon. What's an example of Ruba de Leisa Kamon? Gigon, Kotnu Ktana. Just to review again, Kotnu Ktana was the Machlokes Reb Meir and the Chachamim. The Gemara is speaking in code over here. The Gemara assumes that everybody remembers all the Mishnayos and Shas. So, a man was married to a Ktana. A man. Let's say a man was 15 years old. He married a girl who's 10 years old, so she's a Ktana. How can the girl have Kiddushin? The father married her off. The girl can't be Mekadosh herself, she's a Ktana. The father married the daughter off, so she's married Benatur. The husband dies at the age of 15. Obviously, he never had any children. His wife was only 10 years old. Of course, she didn't have any children. So the din requires that you have to have either Yibum or Chalitza. So to do Chalitza, we require that to survive, if there's a surviving brother. If there's no surviving brother, there's no chalitza, there's no yib, nothing to talk about. If there's a surviving brother, let's say the brother is not bar mitzvah. The brother who died is 15, the brother who's still surviving him is only 12. So he can't do chalitza while he's a katan. And even if the brother who survives is 25 years old, he can't do chalitza because man the almana is a ktani. You need both the yovam and the yibam should be gedolim. They can't be ktan. What happens if they fall in love with each other? They don't want to do chalitza. the surviving brother wants to marry the almana, and she agreed. They both agree. He can't attack her. He can't insist he wants to have yibum. She doesn't want. She doesn't want. But if they both agree to want to have yibum, so then there's no requirement that he and she have to be bar mitzvah, even if the surviving brother is a katan, or the almana is a ktana, or both. He's a katan and she's a ktana. If they want, they can live together. So Rameya says you're not allowed to, because katan shem imotzi soris and ktana shem imotzi islandis. There's a zocher and there's an akeva, a man and a woman, and then there's a okar and an akara. An okar is a man who can't have any children because he has some hormone imbalance, and they can probably correct it with medication, with pills, whatever, to fix the hormones. And an akara is a woman who can't have any children because she has some kind of a problem that theoretically could be corrected with diet and with medication and so on. A soris and an islandess is a male. The soris is a male, the islandess is a female, but the whole body is growing totally in a different direction. It's not an issue with hormones, it's just they simply can't have any children. Can't be corrected. Soris and islandess can't be corrected.
They can be married.
They can get married, but they'll never.
He's
a zacha, she's a kid, but they won't be able to have any children, unless with the rabbi's blessing. The God of Sidi Rebbe gave you get a bracha. Okay, can do a moifis, but with that mopsim they can't have. Derech hateva, an okar and an akara you can work on. A soris and an eyelid is not shaykh. It's not shaykh. So the Gemara learns that from psukim. What if the husband who died was a soris? There is no din of yibum chalitza. What if the surviving brother is a soris? There's no din of yibum chalitza at all. Or what if the almana is an islandess? Let's say they were married for 50 years and the husband dies and he left no children. So probably either he's an akara or she's an akara. If they're married for 50 years, never had children, there must have been some kind of a problem. So that's normally the case where you have a mitzvah of yibum chalitza. You don't say because she's an akara, he's an akara, there's no din. That's always the din of yibum chalitza. But if you know that the one who died or the surviving brother is a soris or the almana is an islandess, then we learn out from the pasuk that there's no din of yibum chalitza at all. So the Mishnah says if the husband died and the surviving brother is before bar mitzvah and the almana is also before bas mitzvah, he's a katan, she's a ktana, both of them are katan ktana, one of them is a katan and the other one whatever, one of them both is a katan ktana. So the Mishnah paskins if they decide they like each other, they want to live together, so let them live together. It's permissible. They'll be performing yibum. And Rameir says we wouldn't permit them to. How do you know that it's not going to turn out that he's going to be a soris or she's going to be an islandess? You can't detect till after they reach the age of 12, 13. If they're only 10 years old, the body didn't develop enough to be able to determine whether the girl is an islandess and whether the boy is a soris. So Rameir says you have to be choshesh. Maybe he's a soris, maybe she's an islandess. The Chachamim say that's ridiculous. You go basaroi. What percentage of the world's population are going to turn out to be, so what percentage of men are soris? What percentage of women are islandess? The raiv is that it's not going to happen like that. So the Chachamim say you go basaroi. Our mayor says you don't go basaroi. So that's a case of Ruba Delesa Kaman. It's not that you have a whole bunch of people and you're checking all the people to see who's a soris, who's an islandess. Talking in general, the Teva Ha'olam, by a physiological raiv. This is the way the Teva Ha'olam is. The rave men are not soris, and rave women are not islandess. So that's what the Gemara says. Aruba de Issa come on, the butcher shops that you see them in front of you, or the members of the Bezin are sitting and they have a split vote. That's Aruba de Issa come on. It's right in front of our eyes. That's the Pasuk of Chumash, that you go bust the rave. But how do you know Minolon that you follow even Ruba de Issa come on? That's not what the Pasuk is talking about. The Pasuk is only talking about Ruba de Issa come on.
What about, you wouldn't say with that, is that a Muslim?
Is it a miyat hamotzui? The Gemara says on the first daf in Gittin, Rameh Chayish l'miyuta, we learn Gittin, Rameh Chayish l'miyuta is only if it's a reasonable miyut. But if it's gora miyuta de miyuta, the roiv is 99%, and it's only 1% miyut, even Rameh says loy chashin l'miyuta. So that's, so when does Rameh disagree with the Rabbana? And if it's a miyat hamotzui, if it's 10% or more, we usually assume miyat hamotzui is 10%. 10% or more, then even the Chachamim agree that you should be Boidek. You have to, if it's possible, you have to be Boidek Midi Rabbanim. That's what do you have to check for shatness? Let's say there's a company that made that's making suits for years and years and years. Whenever I bring a suit, I buy these suits. The shatness man never finds any shatness. Once out of 100 suits, he finds shatness from that company. Once out of 100 suits, so the din is you're not mechuyev to check. It's a miyot she'ena motzi. The only time you're mechuyev to be boidek, minatari, you can go basarayv even if it's a miyot hamotzi, even if 10% of the suits you find shatness in them. And with the rabbanon, there's a chumra. If it's a miyot hamotzi, then you have to be boidek. Same thing, let's say, bugs and vegetables. So you have vegetables and you cut up portions of the vegetables. A normal person eats so much vegetable. You don't eat a ton of vegetables in one sitting, in one meal. So what likelihood is there, what chance is there that in the small portion of vegetables that I'm eating tonight that I'll find a bug? So if it's a 10% chance or more, then zechiyah midirabbanan to be boidek, to look through and to remove the bug. But if it's less than 10%, it's mir chen imatzoi. So both minatar and midirabbanan, you don't have to be boidek. You have a right to go basarayv. The only time you have to be boidek is when you have a miyot hamotzi. So when is there a machlekes amir the rabbanan? You have a miyut that's less than a miyut hamotzi, less than 10%, but it's more than 1%. It was only 1% a miyut. That's miyuta de miyuta. Even a mayor is not chayish le miyuta. So apparently the Gemara is assuming that the percentage, the likelihood of a man turning out to be a soros and a woman turning out to be an island is more than 1%. It's more than a miyuta de miyuta. I'm not familiar. You have to ask a doctor. I would have thought that it is a miyuta de miyuta. Okara and akara is a common problem. There are a lot of people who can't have children, and then the doctors try to work with them to lose weight, or to gain weight, or to diet, or whatever, medication, whatever, hormones. But a soros and an islandess, I would have thought that it's a miyut she'ena motzi. But apparently the Gemara assumes that not so. When it's a miyuta de miyuta, even Rameh holds like hashin in the miyuta. So the only time Rameh disagrees with the Rabbana by the katna ktana, whether we permit them to live together when the husband died, you allow them to do yibum, is because it's a miut, it's less than a miut amotzi, less than 10%, but it's not a miut and a miut. It's not only 1%. Something. I don't know exactly what the Gemara never says. What's called the Mishkanes Yankiv claims that miut amotzi is 10%. The others disagree. Mishkanes Yankiv claims the Ramban is the one. The Ramban Achulin Tak, the first Mohammed Achulin, is the one who came up with this. Klal. Ramban poses a problem. He may have discussed it already. Ramban quotes a medrash that says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon on Friday, Erev Shabbos of Sheshes, May Bereshis, that was Rosh Hashanah. Adam Rishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't the first day of Sheshes, May Bereshis. It was the sixth day of Sheshes, May Bereshis. By us, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on Friday. Lo adu Rosh never falls out on Sunday or Wednesday or Friday. That's what the Mekubalim say, because we live in an imperfect world. Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be on Friday. We live in an imperfect world, so it never falls out on Friday. According to Aluach, never falls out on Friday. So the Marishan was created on Friday. He was told he's not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So the Ramban has a medrash. If he would have had patience, gedul, to wait till Leil Shabbos, he would have been permitted to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere, doesn't say in the Chumash anywhere. That's a medrash like that, the Ramban quotes. If Adam Rishon would have waited, if he would have patience and gedul to wait a couple of hours into Leil Shabbos, he would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So Adam Rishon is dead and buried a long time ago. He's buried in the Moris HaMachpelah. So the Gemara said that the medrash has a lashon, Mi galo ofer me'enecho Adam Rishon. Somebody should dig you out from the grave and take off the sand from your eyes and look at the Jewish people. They plant the tree and they don't eat the peris for the first 3 years because it's orla. They have patience to wait till the fourth year. And when they shech the behemoth, they don't run right away to eat the flesh. They boidik the lungs, they boidik the rear to see if there's a sircha. And then when they see there's no sircha, then they go ahead and they eat it. So the Mauritian should have learned patience. If he would have had gedul, he would have been permitted to eat from the Eitz Hadas on Leil Shabbos, and the whole curse of the Eitz Hadas wouldn't have come into existence. So the Ramban asks on the Medrash, it sounds from the Medrash, you only have to be boidek after you shecht an animal, you only have to check to see if there are sirchas on the lungs, if there are adhesions from one lobe to the other. But you know, there are 77 different kinds of trephis, perikev trephis, the third perikev. There's so many different treifas. Why does the Medrash only worry about Tzirchas on the Reya? So the Ramban explains it, and that's what's quoted La'aloch in Yerudeya. That Tzirchas on the Reya is Emiyat HaMotzi. That's much more common, much more rough than all the others. To have a hole in the Krum Shalmoyach, in the membrane that covers over the brain material, to have a nekev in the kishkis, to have a broken leg in the wrong place, you have a leg is broken in the right place, wrong place, whatever, then the whole animal is considered a treifa. So all of the other treifas are mir she'ein ha-motzeh. So you're not mechuyev to be boidik for that. But the sirchas ha-nerei, that's a mir ta-motzeh. So the Mishkan is Yankov is quoted, the commentary, Mishkan is Yankov was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, from the first group of Talmidim who learned in Volozhin. Chaim Volozhin was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who founded the Volozhin Yeshiva in 1801. The Yeshiva lasted for 90 years, then it was closed down by the Russian government. So the Mishkan is Yankov is quoted by the Darkei Tshuva on Yerudeya there. Was heist amir tamotzi? He says 10% or above. In America, Rav Soloveitchik said years ago when he used to give hashgachas on the slaughterhouse in Boston, he said that he used to use all the kulas on the book plus more, a lot of kulas in Hilchas Treifas, and it always turned out on the average to be 14%. Was not glad kosher. His was not glad kosher. Turned out to be 14% of all the animals that they shechted had sirchas on the lungs, had treifas. They said the glad kosher slaughterhouses only had 9%. He said, how is that possible? He's using all the kulas. Glad kosher means you're not using any kulas. So he said, it's not glad kosher, it's glad treif. That was his pitch. So he was working on the assumption, like the Mishkan is Yankiv, that 10% or above is called the miyot hamotzi. Rabbi Yashiv in Eretz Yisrael, Zechon Levracha, was always noitel hachmer and everything. He was known as a big machmer. Kozman, he was in the Rabbanut, he had to be mekel. But after he retired, so he's not meshuvah, doesn't have to find kulas. So he was always machmer and everything. So after he retired from the Rabbanut, so he issued his opinion, he thinks 7% is miyot hamotzi. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, they've been keeping records for years and years and years in the slaughterhouses, what percentage of the animals have sirchas on the lungs. He says, on the average, it's only 7%. And the Medrash that the Ramban quoted was probably written in Eretz Yisrael. There were Midrashim written in Bavel, in Europe and other parts of the world, but the Medrash that the Ramban quotes was probably composed in Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash talks about checking the Sirchas on the Reya, and the Ramban gives the explanation, because it's Miyot HaMotzei, so Mestam Miyot HaMotzei is 7%. I must have mentioned, Rav Neuwirth, who passed away from the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosa, told us, that there was a period of time he used to travel to Argentina to supervise the shechita and the meat that was brought into Eretz Yisrael to make sure that they did a good shechita. So he said in Argentina the percentage of treifas of sirchas on the air is only 5%. Apparently the air is better and the health conditions are better there, so they have a lower percentage. Apparently in America the health conditions are worse in the slaughterhouses, so that's why you have 14% of the behemoths have sirchas on the lungs.
Right,
that is correct. Right, so Rav Soloveitchik said he used to use all the kulas on the book plus more, and by him it was 14%. By him it was with all the kulas. So that's why he was upset. How can they claim in the glad kosher slaughterhouse that they only have 9% sirchas? He is using all the kulas, not glad kosher. He would remove sirchas. He would peel them off. And it turned out to be 14%.
So in Argentina, where it's 5%, you don't have to check at all because it's less than...
The Pashta says you're not mechuyev to check. If you know in advance that it's only going to be 5%, the Pashta says you're not mechuyev to check. So Rav Neuwirth was saying, based on what Rav Yashiv said, so one may argue the point and say, anytime you have 5%, the Medrash says that the sirchas on the lung is a miyot hamotzi. So Rav Yashiv claims in Eretz Yisrael for years they kept records. So 7% of all the behemoths have sirchas. So if in Argentina it's only 5%, then we should be machmer. The 5% is miyot hamotzi. He says he doesn't think we're mechuyev to be machmer more than Rav Yashiv. So Ginuk, bad enough that he went down to 7% is already miyot hamotzi. Mishkan is Yankov was ungenuman all the time. 10% is miyot hamotzi. So Rabbi Yashiv is machmer, 7%. That mechuyev to be machmer for 5%. Yeah. So the miyuta, loy chashinon, that we don't know what the percentage is. The Mishkan is Yankiv has this discussion, what's called Miyut HaMotzei. He says 10%, or Rabbi Yashar said 7%. But what's Miyuta to Miyuta, that we don't know. I'm just guessing, I said 1%. So if it's in between 1% and 10%, that's going to be the machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chacham. That's by Kotnaktan. So that's what the Gemara asks, Minolon, where do you know from the Chumash that you have a right to go Basaroi by a Rubid de Lase Kamon? Not that you can count up the stores, which are selling kosher, which are selling trade, or you count up the Dayonim who say Potter, say Chai. It's a Ruba de Leisa Kamon, not a Ruba de Isa Kamon. So I think last week we must have learned much of Amud Aleph. So each Amoira gives a different marker. So they give, just to review again, they give the following Makaris. The din is when you bring a Korban Oila, it may not be a Trefa. A Korban Oila, nobody eats it. You just burn it on the Mizbech. So what does it bother me if it's a Trefa? If I have to eat something, a Korban Shlomim you eat, a Korban Chatas the Kohanim eat. So a korban that someone's going to eat, it can't be a trefa. What does it bother me if the korban oil is a trefa? You burn the whole thing on the mizbech anyway. So that's where Rashi says, no, look in the Shmaita Kamaisa de Menachas Tafei, in the first sugya, not the first, one of the early sugyas in the beginning of Menachas Tafei and Beis, and the Gemara learns that from three different psukim, that if the behem is a trefa, you cannot use it even for a korban oil, even though no one's going to eat it. It won't be kosher for the mitzvah. So this is given. When you want to bring a korban oil, you want to bring a korban pesach, or you want to bring another kind of a korban, okay, a korban of a what kind of a korban? A kevis or an ayil, so you have to be makriv the ayil. So the Gemara says, how do you know that any given korban that you're makriv is not a trefa? If it's a trefa, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So how do you know that it's not a trefa? So maybe you do like this, you shech the animal, and then you'll cut up the animal into tiny little pieces and check for every single trefus to see. So first of all, it'll take forever. It's highly impossible. You go check for every single thing. It'll take forever. Take all day long. But the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, there's a din of hefshit v'nituach. A korban oilah, you have to do hefshit. You don't need kohana for hefshit. Yisrael can do it also. It's not an avodah. Hefshit means you have to remove the hide from the animal, even though you're going to burn the whole animal, you burn not only the chalev, you burn even the basa bar korban oil, everything is burnt, but you don't burn the hide. Or ha oil goes to the kohen hamakriv. They divided up all the kohanim who were on duty that day in the Beis Hamikdash, they divide up all the hides. So the Gemara has the pasuk, menita choysa lin socheha. You have to cut up the korban oil into pieces, so the Tanaim had a drasha, osa lin socheha, lo nisocheha, lin socheha. You can't cut it up to tiny little pieces. What size are the pieces? So the Mishnayos and Yuma and in Tum, tell you exactly. The right leg and the left leg and this part and that part, that's all. You can't cut it up into smaller pieces. So you cannot take the animal and cut up the whole head to see if there's a nekev in the krum shel moyach, in the membrane around the brain. And you can't cut up the animal to see the kishkas, whether the kishkas have a hole and so on. You're not allowed to cut it up into smaller pieces. So how do you know that the korban oil is kosher? Maybe not yet to the mitzvah of korban oil. You have to bring every day a korban oil. Tamar shel shachar, tamar shel bein avayim. Well, let's say korban pesach. Next one quotes, Mar Brei de Ravina quotes from korban pesach. Korban pesach, the din is, there's a special law. Korban pesach does not apply to any other korban. Etzim lo sishbur bo. You're not allowed to break any bones in the korban pesach. So how can you check the skull to see if there's a nekev in the krum shel moach? The skull is a bone. You're not allowed to crack the bone. So how are you going to get? And the membrane that covers the brain is below the skull. So you're not allowed to crack the skull. So how do you know that the korban pesach is good? Maybe it has a trefus in it. If it's a korban oil, you can't cut everything up. Lo nesachel, lo nesachel. The Mishnayos list off exactly how you have to do the nituach. You have to do hefshit v'nituach, remove the hide, and then cut it in a specific way. So you can't check for all the trefus. And the korban pesach, you can't check either. And then the Gemara says the next one, when you makriv a korban, Rashi says in a kevis or an ayil, not every korban, Rashi says a shlomim or a kevis or an ayil. So you have to not only be makriv the chalev, you have to be makriv the alyo, the tail. Usually the chalev that you burn on them is beach, is the chalev that we're not allowed to eat. We're not allowed to eat chalev because it's chalka shal mizbeach. Not only are we not allowed to eat chela from a karbonis, even chela from behemoth chulin that you shecht in America, in South America, also you're not allowed to eat chela. But the pasuk says the reason why you're not allowed to eat dam, you're not allowed to eat chela because the dam is reserved for the mizbeach, if it would have been a carbon, and the chela is reserved for the mizbeach. The alya is not also bachila lehedyot. If it's a carbon, if it's a kebis or an ayil, and it's a carbon, then you have to burn it on the mizbeach. Then of course you're not allowed to eat it. Then it's like eating carbon oil. They're not allowed to eat it, but if it's not carbon, it's mutal lehedyot. In America, when they shecht an animal, a kebis or not, you're permitted to eat, you're allowed to eat the alya. The reverse is a machlokes harishayim. The alya is muta b'achila lehedyot if it would be behemas chulin, but it's karib on the mizbeach. There's a machlokes in harishayim. Is it possible to have fakir? There's 2 days in Tosis in Eilu Treifus. Is a gemolt fakir? That it's also with an isa kares and it was never burnt on the mizbeach. Is there such a thing? We see there's something that is burnt on the mizbeach. That's muta lehedyot. The alya from a kevus and ayil is muta lehedyot, and it's karib on the mizbeach. But is it possible to have fakeret something that's also with an isa kares midin chela? Then it was never karib on the mizbeach. So that's a machlekes and taisis. The pashtus based on the chumash is that doesn't exist because the whole idea of the iser Kores and Chel v'Dam is because these things are reserved for the Mizbeach. It's supposed to be makrivit. But if it's something that was never Korah on the Mizbeach, what shach to say that it should be Yasa Lehed? But it's 2 days, a big Taisus in Eilu Treifus, has a machloikas Bali HaTaisus about that. So the Gemara asks, when you bring a korban of a kebis of an ayil, and you have to burn the alya, the whole tail, with the animal, and the pasuk says chel b'ho alya tamima. You're not allowed to break the alya into tiny pieces. If you're not allowed to break it into pieces, how can you check to see that the spine is not broken? Maybe there's a break. V'lech Hashem nipsika chut hashedra. If the spine is broken, the chut hashedra is broken. The whole animal would be a trefa. The whole animal is a trefa, so the whole carbon is puzzle, and you have no way to check without cutting the alya. So you can't check. So how do you ever know that any carbon is kosher? That's the Gemara's kasher. If it's a carbon oila, you can't cut it nesachel and nesachel. If it's a carbon pesach, you can't break shviras etzim. So you can't crack the skull. And if it's an alya, a kevis of an ayil, that's a shlamim barachatos, so you have to bring alya tamima, so you can't break the alya. So how can you ever check to see whether there's a break in the chuta shedra? So the Gemara says, all the three proofs don't prove a thing. Why not? So the Gemara says, the din nesachel, din nesachel, you can't cut it into tinier pieces, means if you have, the Mishnayos tell you what the shtick, what the pieces are. Means if you're going to take a knife and cut it into two separate pieces, but if I'm going to take a knife and cut and cut, cut, everything's still going to be attached, but I'm going to stick my finger in to see if there's a hole in the krum shel mayach, so it's still all one piece. So that's not a violation of nesachel, din nesachel. It'll only be a violation if your mamish severed the two parts. That's what the Gemara says. The only time you'll be in violation of nesachel and nesachel, you're not allowed to cut it to smaller pieces. If chatach le legamre, but if it's still attached, then it doesn't bother me. Then, so that's not a proof. The fact that you bring a carbon oil up and you can't cut it into smaller pieces, so you won't cut it. So you'll cut around to check. You can check to see if it doesn't have a treif. Then the Gemara says, korban pesach, but you can't crack the skull. Is it then etzem l'sishburubo? So the Gemara says, that doesn't prove anything. The iser, shmiras etzem, by korban pesach, only applies if you crack the bones, if you crack the skull. What if I'll take a burning hot coal, and I'll burn the skull? I'll make holes in the skull, so there won't be, I'll burn it out. So there won't be any skulls. I'll be able to see below where the skull used to be. I'll burn it out, and I'll be able to check the krum shel mayach. So the Gemara quotes at Toseftim Psochim that hamechatech begidim hasar batzamas emel mishum shvira setzim. That's not a violation. If you take a knife and you cut gidim are sometimes so tough, just like bones. It's just as difficult to cut a gid as it is to cut a bone. But strictly speaking, the Tosefta says etzim lasish burubav korban pesach is only an etzim, only if you crack a bone. If you cut the gidim, that's not an aver. Or asarif batzamas, you take the bones that you're not allowed to crack, but you burn it. You take a burning hot coal and you burn a hole in the bone. That's not an isa. That's mutar. So the Gemara says you can check the korban pesach. You can check the korban pesach to make sure it doesn't have any treifas. without violating the Isar of Etzim Lasish Berubo. So you didn't prove the point. The Gemara said the same thing. If you bring a Karban Shlamim or a Karban Chatas from a Keres of an island, it didn't require Chel Behu Alya Tmimon. Not only do you burn all the Chelev, you have to burn even the Alya also, and you're not allowed to cut the Alya. Now let it cut it into two. But you take a knife and you cut a little bit by the alya, and you'll be able to check by cutting a little bit, not detaching the alya from itself. It'll still be intact. Same as before. Everything will still be held together. It'll be one piece of an alya. But you will be able to check to see if there's a break in the chut hasheder. The Gemara said you didn't really prove the point. These are all the three rais the Gemara quotes. I think we did all the three last time. No? I think we went this far.
You were trying to prove that the Gemara
Yeah, so yes. The Gemara tried to prove, how do you know any carbon oil is kosher? Maybe it's a trade. How do you know the carbon pesach is kosher? How do you know the carbon shlomim b'lachatos when you burn the eye? How do you know it's kosher? Maybe it's a trefa. And if it's a trefa, the whole carbon is pasul. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't necessarily prove that you go basar, right? Maybe the carbon would only be good if you check, and you ask, how can you check? And the Gemara says, you can check without violating the isur. That's the Gemara. So this is a famous Gemara. The Gemara has a din, Safik deraisa lechumra and Safik derabbana lekula. If you have a Safik regarding a din deraisa, you have to go lechumra. And if you have a Safik on a din derabbana, you go lekula. So there's a famous machlokes, there's a Sefer Shev Shmaitza that was written by the author of the Ktzais HaChoshen. He lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s. So the Ktzais HaChoshen, when he was 17 years old, wrote the Shev Shmaitza. Shev Shmaitza has seven long essays. Each one has around 20 chapters. He talks about Sfek Sfeken, Safik Deraisa Luchumrin, Safik Derabbana Lekula, and Ruba Chazake, Shas topics. At the age of 17, he wrote this knockout sefer, Shev Shmaitza. And there are many, many Svarim written commentaries on the Shev Shmaitza. So the Shev Shmaitza is written by the Ktzos. And the author of the Nesivus on Choshen Mishpat, there's the Ktzos on Choshen, there's the Nesivus on Mishpat. So the author of the Nesivus on Mishpat, they were contemporaries. It says the Nesivus lived in two different cities at the same time. So the Sefer Nesivus on Mishpat, the author wrote a Sefer on Yerudea that's called the Chavis Das. So in the Chavis Das, the Simen Kuf Yud, in the end of Chelek Aleph Yerudea, has a whole long essay based on Sofik, about Sofik Deraisa Luchum and Sofik Deraban Luchum. So they both say the same thing on this Gemara. They both quote, there is a machlokes, the Rambam and other Rishonim, regarding this din, Safik deraisa lechumra. Is that din itself, is that deraisa lechumra, or is that only a chumra midirabbanan? Safik deraisa lechumra. So the Rambam, surprisingly, says that Safik deraisa lechumra is only midirabbanan. And the Ravid agrees with it. Usually the Ravid always chaps there, and the Ravid agrees with the Rambam. That's mawalala right. The Ravid agrees with this strange Rambam. And all the other Rishonim disagree. That's how the Shev Shmaitza begins. With this machlekes, the Rambam against Rashi and the Rashba. So they will both ask the same kasha. The Shev Shmaitza, authored by the Ktzais HaChoshen, and the Beis HaSofek, written by the Chavis Das, by the author of the Nesivus, both bothered the same kasha. The Gemara is asking, how do you know you go Basarayv? Lama Zogn that you don't go Basarayv. So I bring a Korban Oilo. I'm not sure if it's a Trefa or not. So you're not sure. So Safik deraisa lekula mideraisa. According to the Rambam, Safik deraisa lechum is only mideraabanan. Menatara Safik deraisa is lekula mideraisa. So what's the Gemara's proof? From the fact that the Torah says he can bring a carbon oil. The fact the Torah says he can bring a carbon pesach. The fact the Torah says he bring a carbon shlamim and achatas and burn the alya tmima. How do you know that it's not a trefa? You have no way to check. So the Gemara says, no, you can check without violating anything. But before the Gemara came to the realization, the Gemara thought that there's no way to check, so it should be a suffix. So what's wrong? Suffix deraisa is lekula mideraisa. So how did the Gemara prove that you go basarayv? That's the kasha that they both ask. According to the Ram, how did the Ram read the Gemara? So they both give the same answer. The Ktzais and the Nesivus both give the same answer. When the Rambam said Safik deraisa lechumra midirabbanan min haTorah Safik deraisa lekula, that's only by isurim, by mitzvahs. So even the Rambam agrees that Safik deraisa lechumra midiraisa. What's the logic? He's talking about there's a mitzvah to bring a korban oila. Tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben abayim. Musafim, we bring a lot of oilas. It's a mitzvah to bring a korban. It's a mitzvah to bring a korban pesach. It's a mitzvah to bring chel b'hal yakin. We're talking about mitzvahs. The whole daf till the bottom of yud aleph on the base. We're going to get stuck. But the whole daf till the 10 rayas are all talking about mitzvahs. So that's what they both say. What's the logic? Why does the Rambam hold that Safik deraisa l'chumre is only midirabbanim? So they both explain. The Ksais and the Sivs, they both explain. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat chazer. If you're not sure if it's chazer, so it's not chazer. If you know it's basa b'cholav, if you know it's an avela treifa, then you're not allowed to eat it. If you're not sure if it's an avela treifa, so that's not what the Torah is talking about. The Torah is talking about avadai. So they say, if that's the logic, why Safik deraisa lekula with deraisa, the Torah is talking about avadai. So if the Torah says you have to have an esrig, you have to have a avadai esrig. If you're not sure if it's a good esrig, so it's not an esrig. The Torah says you have to bring a korban oila, that shouldn't be a trefa if you're not sure. So if you're not sure, so you didn't do the mitzvah. The same logic that leads you to believe that Safik deraisa lekula with deraisa by isurim should lead you to believe that Safik deraisa lechumra with deraisa by mitzvahs. So that's how they explain this whole Gemara. According to the Rambam, the Kasha is a murderous Kasha. How does the Gemara think that they're proving that you go Basaroi from the Korban, Oilo from the Korban, Pesach from the Korban Chatas and the Shlomim, because maybe it's a Trefa. The worst it could be is a Safik Deraisa. If you don't go Basaroi, so it's a Safik, so Safik Deraisa is Lekulim and Deraisa. So what's the right? So they say, no, Safik Deraisa, Lekul is only in Isurim. In mitzvahs, the Rambam has to agree that Safik deraisa is l'chumra mideraisa. So that's what the Gemara says. It's not a Safik. You go basarayv, so it's a vaday. We have the right to assume it's a vaday, that is not a treif. That's the famous explanation. So the Gemara thought they had, each Amara thought he had a right. He thought he had a right from Korban Oila. He thought he had a right from Korban Pesach. He thought he has a right from Korban Shlomim and Korban Chatas. The Gemara says, each right doesn't prove the point. So the next one says, it's going to prove it from Egla Rufa. What's this with Egla Rufa? What is an Egla Rufa? Egla Rufa, we were just talking before. If you find a Jewish dead body murdered, Kimotza Cholol. Cholol means a murdered Jewish person in Eretz Yisrael. Lo Noda Mihiko. We don't know who killed him. We don't know what city the murderer came from. So yeah, the Bez Nagadol has to send. We learned Saita. We learned the Perik Egla Rufa. Bez Nagadol has to send representatives and they have to measure to the city Svivas HaCholol, whichever city is closest to the murdered body. We assume that the murderer must have come from that city, and that city needs a kapara. All the people need a kapara. You have to collect money and bring an Egla Rufa. So the Egla Rufa also cannot be a trefa. Why not? Nobody eats it. What's the problem with Egla Rufa if it's a trefa? So the Gemara asks, what's the shlecht if it's a trefa? The Chitema, the Gemara is going to say, it says on the side, Dvarim Chafalef. So skip four lines later, it says, V'chitema, my nafkemina, what does it bother me if the Egla Rufa is a trefa? No one's going to eat it anyway. You kill the Egla Rufa. You do a reef on it. Gemara says, no. The Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin says, if you mekadosh an isha, v'kesef, or b'shova kesef, it has to be worth a shova pruta. So the Mishnah says, what if you're mekadosh an isha with the Isuri Hanor? I give a basa v'cholav, I give a kloy hakerem, orlo, something that's asa b'hanor. So it's not called shavah pruta. So the Mishnah list gives you a whole list of all the things that are asa b'hanor. So the Mishnah lists off that egla rufa is asa b'hanor. So the Gemara says, what's the mocker? Where does it say in Chumash egla rufa is asa b'hanor? So the Gemara says, because after you do the ceremony of bringing the Egla Rufa, the Kohanim from the closest city, the Rabbanim from the closest city have to bring the Egla Rufa and chop off its neck. And then the Kohanim have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kapal Amcha Yisrael Shepadis HaShem. The Rabbanim Shalom should give a forgiveness and atonement to all the people from that city. We assume the murderer came from that city. So since Kapar Ksiv Bo Kikotshim, just like by when you bring Egla Rufa is not a carbon. Egla Rufa is not Hegdish. It's not Hegdish, but just like by Korbanus, they say when you bring a Korban, you get a forgiveness, you get an atonement, you get a kapara. So here it says by Egla Rufa brings you a kapara. So just like Korbanus are asabano, so to Egla Rufa is also asabano. So the Gemara says from the same pasuk, kapara ksiv ba kikotshim. Just like you're equating Egla Rufa to Korbanus because he uses the lashon kapale amcha Yisrael. So based on the same limud, we should establish that a trefa is not acceptable. Just like we establish in Menachos Daf Hei, Rashi tells you, Menachos Daf Hey, we established that a treifa is possible for all karbanas, even karbanas that you don't eat, even for a karban oila, you cannot bring a behemah treifa. So kaparik siba kikotchim and egla rufa also cannot be a treifa. So the Gemara asks, how in the world can you ever bring any egla rufa? How do you have ruach hakodesh to know that it doesn't have a treifas? What are you going to do? You're going to cut it up. You're going to cut it up to little pieces and see after you do the while it's alive, you can't check. Oh, so the Gemara says, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rab Sheish Beri Ravi Yamar Asir, we derive from Egla Rufa. The Yamar Achman says in the Torah, Harufa, O Egla Harufa, Kishahi Shlema, the heavy. It has to be intact. After you chop off the neck, you're not allowed to cut it up into tiny pieces at all. By carbon oil, they cut it up into specific pieces. You can't cut Nisachel, then Nisachel. You can't cut it into smaller pieces. Egla roof, you're not allowed to cut into pieces at all. Just chop off the neck, and that's all. That's how the Gemara darshans. Ho arufa kishahi shleima tehevi. Has to be in one piece. So the Gemara says, while it's alive, for sure you can't check. After it's dead, also you can't check, because you'll ruin the mitzvah. You're only out in the mitzvah. Egla roof, if you leave it like that, it should be intact. So there's no way to check to see if it has any treifas. I bechitema, what does it bother me if it has treifas? No one's going to eat it anyway. The Gemara says, no, kaparik siba kikotchim. Just like we say that egla rufa is compared to kotchim, that it's also bano. So we say it's compared to kotchim, that it should be, that it can't be a treifa. The Rash quotes a Tosefta. The Rash HaMishnayis, I forgot already where it is. The Rash HaMishnayis quotes a Tosefta that if you have an egla arufa and you poida it, it becomes mutabano. So the Chazanish says that absolutely, the Mishlam Melech quotes that Rash. I don't sit and read Rashes, but I read Mishlam Melech. The Mishlam Melech on the Ram quotes this Rash, a surprise, if you poida. So the Chazanish says, Satish converted. How can you be poida? Hegdashki can be poida. If you have basa b'cholov, you can be poida. He says, egla arufa is not a carbon. What kind of pidyon? There is no pidyon. He just says it's a misprint. It must be a mistake in the Tosefta. There ain't no such thing. There's no pidyon. The Gemara establishes kaparik siba kikotchim de'egla rufa is also bahanoa, just like karbonas are also bahanoa, because the Kohanim have to say kapal am chesol shepadis Hashem kaparik siba kikotchim. But not that it is kotchim. It's not kotchim. It's chulin.
Why can't you say the same thing? Just like a bara, like a bara, all these people did this, and said people did this. The same logic.
Just like what?
Just like
carbonus.
Yeah, just use that same logic. Because it can't be afraid by using kapar, it can't be afraid just like a carbon.
So they say also kapar that it has pidyon.
Yeah.
Kapar exhibit question has pidyon. Maybe? Okay. Maybe. I don't know. So the Gemara says we don't have any mokum. So we're showing we already tried four makaris. Oh, this one was a good one. Kavu shine. The Egla Rufa was a good proof, yeah. The first three we dingza. The fourth one the Gemara doesn't dingza. Then the Gemara quotes.
What's the problem? Why can't they just go along with them? What happened to come up with other rufas?
No, Acharam Lahat is only by Ruba de Issa come on. They want to know how do you know even a Ruba de Lesa come on is good? That's what the Gemara suggested. Maybe the Pasuk in Mishpat, Acharam Lahat is only Ruba de Issa come on. How do we know all over Shas we follow even a Ruba de Lesa come on? Whatever the probability is. So the Gemara now had the fourth drasha was from Egla Rufa, okay. Then the Gemara has the fifth marker. Who's this? Rabba Barav Shela Omar. He learned from Paraduma. This is all the Maisa. Paraduma, you're going to burn it. No one's going to eat it. So what does it bother me if it's a treifa? So the Gemara says, no. Paraduma says, the main nidah chatasu, the bottom line of Rashi. Bamid Buyotes, Rashi quotes the bottom line. It says in Parshas Chukas, L'mei nido chatasi, chatas kai rachmoni. So the Paraduma has certain dinim like a chatas. There are different gemaras in the first parak in Avodah Zarah. There are Tanaim who say Paraduma is not, the gemara says is kachem berak abayis. It's not kachem mizbeach. You're not makrivit on the mizbeach. Paraduma is shechted chutz l'shalosh ma'ah. You don't shecht it in the Azara at all. For Adum is if a person is a Tomei Meis, so it's not enough that he goes to the mikveh. You have to have a Por Adumah, you have to shecht it, you have to be Zorik the Dam, then you burn the flesh, and you take some of the yeshes and you mix the yeshes in a big container of water, then you have to, an Adam Tohar has to be maza on the third day and on the seventh day. Let's say the person went to a funeral on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday is the third day. And then Sunday next week will be the seventh day. So you have to be maza paraduma water on the third day, on Wednesday, and on the seventh day, on Sunday. And then Ereshti can go to mikveh and become Tohar. That's not enough, the Hazar is paraduma. Then he now he's able to go to the mikveh. And then Tosis points out in Megillah, the first parak in Megillah, in order to receive the Hazar Shlishi, to receive the Hazar Shvi, he has to go to mikveh in advance. So the Tomei Meis has to go to mikveh three times. He has to first go to mikveh. Let's say he went to the funeral on, I say, on Monday. If he went to the funeral on Sunday, so the Shlishi is going to be on Tuesday, that's not a problem, but the Shvi is going to be on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says you're not permitted to do Hazar Shlishi Shvi on Shabbos. That's considered Misakin. It's an Isa Misakin, because you make the person Tohar. So it should be a Kavachai, but Adam Tomei shouldn't be allowed to go to Mikvah on Shabbos. So the Gemara explains why that's not true. An Adam Tami is permitted to go to Mikvah on Shabbat. A woman goes to Mikvah on Shabbat, men go to Mikvah, so that's permissible. But to do Hazor on the person, that's an Isa Midirabbanon of Misak and Yimitai the person. So if the person went to, so let's say he went to the funeral on Sunday, and he wants to have Hazor Shli Shvi on Tuesday, and Shvi he can't do on Shabbat, so he do on the day after on Sunday. So that's a machlekes, the Ramam and the Raivin. What if instead of having 4 days in between, you have 5 days in between? So there are two girsas in the Gemara in Kiddushin whether that's acceptable. So if a person, let's say a person went to mikvah on Sunday, and instead of going to have a hazar shlishi shvi this week, he waits a month. He has no time. He waits a year. So the first day he goes, it will be the hazar shlishi. That's not a problem. So if the person went to a funeral on Sunday, we wouldn't recommend he should have the hazar shlishi on Tuesday, because he can't have the hazar shvi on Shabbos. That's an Isser. Going to have the Hazar Shvi on Sunday, that'll be a machlekes, the Ramam and the Rai, but two girsas in the Gemara, because you have 5 days in between the Shlishi and the Shvi, and the Ramam says that that's not acceptable. The Ramam says, like it says in the Gemara, that that's not acceptable. So if a person went to a funeral on Sunday, he should not have Hazar Shlishi until Wednesday. Then have Hazar Shvi on the next Sunday, that'll be Hazar. So before he has Hazar Shlishi, he has to go to Mikveh to be. The Gemiri, the Gemara says, we have a tradition, the Lekha Hazor below Tvila. You can't receive a Hazor on your body, Hazor Shlishi Shvi, without first going to the Mikveh. He has to first go to the Mikveh to be able to receive the Hazor Shlishi. Then he has to go to Mikveh at Tzvetamal to be able to receive the Hazor Shvi. And after he receives the Hazor Shlishi Shvi, now he can go to Mikveh to become Tohar. That's the din of Tumas Hameis. So you have to take a Poraduma and burn it and take the yeshes. So the paraduma, nobody's going to eat it. You're going to burn it. So the Gemara says, what does it bother me if it's a treifa? What does it bother me? The Gemara says, no. Kapor ksiv, what does it say? L'mei nidu chatasi. Chatas kai rachmana. So that's our Gemara says, chatas kai rachmana. On the other hand, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the first parak says, paraduma is not kachim mizbech, it's kachim eder kabayis. So it's a contradiction. Kachim eder kabayis, there's no psul of treifa. What does it bother me if it's a treifa? So Tosfos works on that. With respect to what do you apply the klal of chatas kai rachmana? Paraduma has a status of a korban, chatas, and with respect to what do you say it has a status of kachah berakabas? So that's a Tosfos of all places in Perek Merubah. The Bachram in the Yeshiva always learned that gigantic Tosfos about paraduma. Tosfos in Perek Merubah talks about that. Adam Masechtas as well. When do you apply which rule? But our Gemara applies the rule. If paraduma is considered chatas, is considered like a carbon chatas, but again to this din, that a treifa wouldn't be kosher for a paraduma. So the Gemara says, how do you know that the paraduma is nishkan treifa? You don't know. You only know because you go basar roif. So the Gemara leaves it. That's a good proof. The proof of Megla Rufa was a good proof. That was the fourth. The first three, they were matche. The fourth proof they thought was good. The fifth proof is Zegla Rufa, they thought it's good. Then they have this. Then they're gonna go move on to more proofs, yeah. So here there's a very famous Tosfos. Asya mi paraduma. This is a very famous Tosfos. How old does the paraduma have to be? A para. How old? So it's a machlekes hatanaim, Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkan, so Blazer Nachachamim. Or the Pora Bashtaim or Pora Bashalosh, I think. What does it mean, Bashtaim? After the first birthday, let's say Korban Pesach has to be Ben Shnosai. Ben Shnosai means before the first birthday. after the first birthday is already ben shtein. After the first birthday is in the second year. So paraduma has to be either bashtei shanim or bashalosh shanim. Means in between the first birthday and the second birthday, or in between the second birthday and the third birthday. But l'chol adeis, that's machlekes in the Mishnah. Rablezan achacham. There's a famous medrash that they ask Eliyahu Navi, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam learning now? Ribbono Shel Olam is learning about paraduma. He's saying over, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam have to say? How old does the paraduma have to be? So the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, my son Rablezan ben Hurkin is. Old has to be 2 years old, and the Chachamim disagree. The Ribbono Shel Olam is saying over the Machlokes HaTanaim. That's a famous medrash like that. So Tosfos Frekta Kasha, over the Chol HaDeis, the Paraduma has to be over 1 year, has to be more than 12 months old. So Tosfos puts together Asharfa Kasha, Dibra Mas Asim and Paraduma. The Gemara has later a Machlokes here, the third line of Tosfos, the fourth line of Tosfos, Leman Dioma Trefa Ena Chayim. So it says on the side, Lekamon Daf Mem Beis. What is it? Mem Beis or Mem Gimel? Can't see. Mem Beis. So later in the beginning of Perigela Trefis, Mem Beis. So the Gemara has a machlokes amaroim. Do we assume the Torah prohibits us from eating a whole bunch of animals that are Trefis? Is that because we assume the animal is half dead? Let's say an animal dies a natural death. So it's an avela. So I'll take a knife and I'll shecht it. I'll make it into a shchuta. No, it's dead already. Too late. You have to shecht the. You can only shecht the animal while it's alive. If it's dead already, it's too late. You can't shecht it now. So what if the animal has a trefus? So the Torah says if you shecht it, it's asa b'achila. It doesn't help. So is that because we assume trefa ein achaya? The animal that has a trefus will certainly not survive 12 months. So it's already one leg out. It's already half dead. So it's like shechting a dead animal. If an animal dies a natural death, so it's mamish in the vela, so it's in the vela that it's asa b'achila, and it's in the vela that's metame. It's metame b'magam amasa. If you shecht an animal that has a trefus, has a broken leg, has a hole in the kishkis, has a hole in the membrane on the brain, whatever, so the shechita will be metame day nevela. It won't have tumas nevelas, but it'll be asa b'achila. So the Gemara has a machlokes amaraim, a machlokes satanaim, a machlokes amaraim. How are you supposed to understand what's the nature of the din of trefa? Is it like basa b'chalav? I shecht an animal, I get kosher flesh, and then I cook it with milk. So there's no issue of nevela. Basa b'chalav, azayti geisa, it's a side issa. Let's say someone takes flesh, he buys a salami in the store, and then he bows down to the salami, he worships it, he makes it into avodah zarah. There's nothing wrong with the shechita. The shechita was perfect. He made it into avodah zarah. That's a azayti geisa. So should we assume that trefa is a zayti geisa? Torah doesn't want us to eat diseased animals. It's not healthy. It has nothing to do with nevela. Or should I say no, that trefa is tchilas nevela? We assume an animal that has a trefus is trefa ein achaya. It will not survive for 12 months. It will certainly die within 12 months. And if you shecht the trefa, the reason why it's asa b'achila is because it's half dead. And just like if you shecht an animal that died already, shechita isn't chal on a dead animal. So shechita is not chal on an animal that's a trefa, because trefa is tchilas nevela. That's the Lashon HaRama. Shatrefa tchilas nevela. The Rama writes a chiddush. The din is that in order to get malchus for eating non-kosher food, you have to eat a kazayis. That's a machlekes hatanaim. In the end of Makkos, we learned Makkos a couple years ago. In the end of Makkos, the Mishnah quotes Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. He says, kol shehu lemalchus. If you eat a mashahu, a pchazah, you get malchus already. We don't paskin like that. We paskin, you only get malchus if you eat a kazayis of trefus. What if I eat a kazayis, half a kazayis of chazer, and a half a kazayis of basa b'chola? I didn't have a kazayis of one isur. So that's a machlokes, further machlokes hatarayim, whether isurim mitzar from zeh mizeh, we paskin, no, ein isurim mitzar from zeh mizeh. So the Rambam writes a chiddush, what if you eat a half a kazayis of nevela, and a half a kazayis of trefa? So they're two different isurim. So the Rambam says, no, shatrefa tchilas nevela, it's considered one shem echad. It's one shmasem shavim, trefa nevela, even though it's not the same, because the nevela is matame. The nevela is matame, and the trefa is not matame. But when it gets to achila, trefa tchilas nevela. So the Gemara has this machlokes, l'kaman daf mem beis. Should you say trefa ein achaya? The reason why the Torah prohibited us from eating a trefa is because it's going to die within 12 months, will not survive 12 months. So it's considered like shechting a dead animal. That's why it's awesome. Or should you say, no, trefa chayu, the trefa can live on another 100 years. And it's also because it's a diseased animal, has nothing to do with the fact that it's going to die within 12 months, and it's like shechting a dead animal. That's dead already. So that's a machlokes.
Before the shochet, the parah, the veterinary doctor, you know, the animal doctor, has not checked the animal.
It's a good idea. They should check. But he can't check inside the kishkes?
No.
He doesn't have rochel. Now they can check. Now they have x-ray. But it'll be very expensive. They're going to x-ray every behemoth. It'll cost a fortune of money.
But isn't this the metzius? I mean, you can check.
The Ramban is, that's the Ramban is the kasha. Hech nechelku temihani, hech nechelku avois ha'oilam, how can the heligit tanaim argue about a matter that you can test it and check? Why don't they take 100 animals at a treifa and lock them up, give them food, and see if they'll survive a year or not? So the Ramban quotes from the Yerushalmi that it never makes sense to have a machloikas on something that you can experiment. He quotes the Yerushalmi comments, there's a machloikas hatanaim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Achachamah regarding rice. If you cook rice with water on Pesach, will it turn into chametz or not? If you cook barley or wheat, or oats, one of the rye spelt, if you cook it with water, that'll be bole de chimetz. And they had a machlokes, but if you cook, let's say, potato starch, other things with water, that's a different chemical reaction, that's called sirchon, that's not called chimetz. So there's a machlokes, abech menur and rabbana, what if you cook rice with water? Is it bole de chimetz or not? So the Yerushalmi, yes, that kasha, how can you have a machlokes? Why did they experiment? The Yerushalmi says it did experiment. And it came out to be something in between the reaction that you have when you cook wheat flour with water and the reaction that you have when you cook potato starch with water. So they had a machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, ha, you see, that's called chimas. And they said, I don't consider that chimas. I consider that sirche. So the Yerushalmi says that it doesn't make sense to have a machlokes in mitzvahs. So the Ramban picks up that Yerushalmi, and he has in a few places on Shas like that. That's all the bochum and all the yeshivas. Now, you can't have a machlokes in mitzvahs. Can't have a machlokes in mitzvahs. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that the Greek philosophers felt that experimentation is only for slaves. That's manual labor, to make an experiment with the hands. So they never believed in experimentation. So that's why all of their science was kakai. They didn't believe in experimentation, so they philosophized. How come water goes down? How come fire goes up? How come water puts out fire? How come the fire doesn't put out the water? And everything was with philosophy and philosophy. So their science was worthless. In order to figure out scientific information, you got to experiment. And the Chachmei Chazal always experimented. They didn't believe in philosophizing. Rav Soloveitchik has in several of his published essays, he uses an expression from the Gemara. The Gemara says in the beginning of Brachas that David HaMelech prides himself. He's not like all the other kings. All the other kings sit daintily on their throne with clean clothing and their hands. Everything is clean. And David HaMelech, women come with a shayla, amare, a kesem, or a dead embryo, and they want to know whether they have tumas leid or not, and his hands are filthy with blood, because the chachmei atanoim, the rabbanim, have to paskin based on realia, they have to based on experimentation, they have to get their fingers dirty with the dam shvir vishilya. So that's what the Ramban is. Tamihani, heich nechluku avois ha'olam, he says, the tanoim and amaroim on the first daf in Eilat Treifos. How can they have a machlokes with a treifa chai, treifa and a chaya? Why don't they take 100 animals that had treifas and lock them up and give them good food and conditions, see if they'll survive for 12 months? How can they have a machlokes in a thing that you can experiment? The Ramban says, he's guessing, he says, Mistama, they must have locked up 500 animals and they all died within a year. So one Tana says, there you have it. You see that they all died within a year. The other one said, maybe if we would have locked up 5,000, maybe some of them would not die. It wasn't a control. It wasn't a proof. Ruba de Ruba of the treifas will die within a year, but it doesn't prove conclusively that they're all going to die within a year. It doesn't prove that the reason for the prohibition against treifa, because treifa ain't a chaya, doesn't prove it. It says it's not going to live for 12 months. So that's the Ramban says like this.
What if you take a vow today, when you do take a vow,
has to be a controlled experiment to prove anything. That's what Ramban says. They if some of them don't die, then you have a good proof. But if they all die, it doesn't prove. Maybe the Ruba of Treifas will die. Maybe there's a Miut which will not die and they're still also. Maybe Treifa can theoretically be Choya. Treifa can survive 12 months and it's still prohibited. So you can't prove. Okay, that's the Ramban. Why? If they all die, it doesn't prove anything.
But I'm saying, generally, just because it has a circuit, it doesn't mean it's going to die with the problem.
Yeah, by us, animals have circuit. The Rashba and the Tshuva asks. Yeah. By us, we have animals that have sirchas, they live on for years and years after the sirchas. So that's a problem. That's a problem. Because we assume trade for Einachaya. So what do we do? It doesn't correspond to reality. So that's a big problem. That since the days of the Rashba, some Rabbanim are working on this problem. They didn't come up with a good solution. Yeah. So Tais is here, Frek Takasha. A par aduma is a machlokes, whether it's bench time or bench all, how old should it be? But L'chol HaDeh is Bein L'Rav Lez, Bein L'Rav Ban has to be more than 1 year old. So if your whole treifa ain't a chaya, so by the time you're shechting the Por Aduma, it's already 1 year old. So this proves that a year ago it was not a treifa. Maybe it developed to become a treifa in the middle of the year, but the fact that it survived the whole year is conclusive proof. If your whole treifa ain't a chaya, it's a conclusive proof that a year ago it was not a treifa. So once you know a year ago was not a treifa, so shtelach chazaka that it didn't change, because we already proved over here. Minoha milsa dam rabbanon zilbasa chazaka. That was over here, no? Yeah. Here, yes. Around 20 lines from the top. Minoha milsa dam rabbanon on yudam and base. 20 lines, 15, 20 lines from the top. So in the middle, the line begins kvadush al chacham. Then the Gemara said minoha milsa dam rabbanon luki milsa chazaka. How do you know shtelach chazaka? The Gemara gave a marker. Now the Gemara is asking, how do you know you go basarayv? The Gemara proves it from paraduma. So Taisus says, how does it prove from paraduma that you go basarayv? Maybe it proves you go basar chazaka. The fact that the paraduma is already a year old is a conclusive proof that a year ago it was not a treifa. Because if it would have been a treifa, treifa and achai wouldn't have survived 12 months. So if you know that it was not a treifa 12 months ago, so yishtalav the chazaka, we already proved on Yudam and Beis yishtalav chazaka. So you have the right to assume that it didn't change in the last year. So how can you prove from paraduma you go basaroy? Maybe you prove you go basar chazaka. How does it prove you go basaroy? That's Taisus Charifus Dikikash. So Taisus gives an answer, Mechudish Dikah answer. Taisus says, it sounds like a tongue twister. Kol chazaka shlanis bara b'shaita ena chazaka. What does it mean? A year ago, when the Par Aduma was born, I didn't know whether it was a treifa or not. I didn't know, because we don't know you go basarayv. We didn't know. Once you say you go basarayv, so when you take any Par Aduma, you know, I know it's not a treifa because you go basarayv. But we don't know yet that you go basarayv. So a year ago, I didn't know b'shaita that it's not a treifa. I discover a year later, at the first birthday, that a year ago, it wouldn't have survived 12 months if it would have been a treifa. Now, in retrospect, I see that it wasn't a treifa 12 months ago. But 12 months ago, I didn't know. So Taisa says, the only time Mishtelach Chazaka is, Chazaka Shenizbara B'Shaita. If I know now that it's not a treifa, I passed it through an x-ray machine, and I checked, I know it's not a treifa. Then I don't know if the situation changed in the next month or two, or the year or two, then Mishtelach Chazaka. Chazaka means, if you don't know what the facts are, however you were noyig yesterday, you have the right to continue to be noyig today. Chazaka is a din hanhoge. However you were noyig yesterday, but yesterday I didn't know how to be noyig. I didn't know till a year later the fact that a year ago it wasn't a treifa. So there was no hanhoge. I wasn't noyig anything a year ago. So that's what Tosis coins an expression. They made up this cloud. Chazaka shlenes bara b'shaita. Ain't a chazaka. Why? Because chazaka is not a biru. Chazaka is not mevara the facts of the case. Chazaka is a din, how to be noig. If you don't know what the facts are, however you were noig yesterday, continue to be noig today.
But if chazaka is like another
name, the right. So the Prima Godin points out that the word chazaka appears in the Gemara in many different places with six different meanings, totally different meaning. So those Gemaras, chazaka ain't on the maze, panam efnei bachov alich prako. Chazaka shaliach osa shlichusay. Chazaka ain't on a pareh toch zmana. That doesn't mean chazaka shtel of chazaka status quo. That means ruba de leise kamon. That means arrive. That means ruba de leise kamon. Then you have another chazaka. I want to sell you karka, so I tell you make a kinyi chazaka. Kinyi chazaka has nothing to do with those chazaka. Then you have mesa bonem machmas milo. A woman did a bris on one baby, another baby, the babies are dying. Trezim ne have a chazaka, vlasim ne, it's totally nothing to do with the other chazakas. Then there's a cheskas abatim, has nothing to do with anything else. Chazabatim has nothing to do with it. Kinyan Chazak, nothing to do. Each Chazak is different. People are going to point out the word Chazak, spelled the same, pronounced the same, but has six different meanings and six different contexts. Sometimes Achrayim will ask a kasha, it's a Chazak, Chazak, they're mixing up different Chazakas. That's what the Prima Gordon points out. Six different kinds of situations where we use the term Chazak, but they have nothing to do with each other. So this is a famous Tosfos. Tosfos has a klal, whenever there's a din hanhoge, if you're talking about roib, so roib is mavara, what the facts of the case, you don't know what the facts are, but whatever the likelihood, whatever the probability is, that's mavara, the facts of the case. But chazaka is not mavara, the facts of the case. Chazaka is a din, how to be noeg. When you don't know what the facts are, how to be noeg, so however you were noeg yesterday, you continue to be noeg like that today. Dina hanhoge have to go mikan al habo. This explains a lot of other gemaras. This explains, there's a machlekes in Bava Kama regarding eight zaymen. Witnesses testified a month ago, whatever, that I owe you $1,000. You lent me $1,000 in cash on Pesach. The witnesses came a month ago and they testified, and I scream that it's not true. And they say, you lent me after the shiur on a Tuesday night, you lent me $1,000 in cash, they were watching. And then I bring two witnesses who say, the two witnesses that testified that you lent me the money Tuesday night in the shiur in Queens, they say those two Aiden were in Eretz Yisrael on that Tuesday night. They weren't here bechlal. So that's called hazama. If the two Aiden say imonu hayisim, so we just ascertained that the first two witnesses were lying. So Aiden who give Aiden sheker, apostle Aidens, you can't rely on them if they're going to give you a testimony in another case. They may lie in the other case as well. So an Eid Zaymim who was caught testifying falsely is postulated. So there's a strange machlokes Abai v'Rove, that they become postulated l'mafreya from the time they testified a month ago that you lent me the money a month before. And we caught them in a lie today. So when do they become postulated? So we paskin from the day that they testified falsely. Eid Zaymim l'mafreyahu nifson. We paskin, that's one of the six cases where we paskin like Abai against Rove. Usually when it's machlekes Abai v'Rove, so we usually pass them like Rove, except for Yal Kagam. The Rosh Yitev is Yudayin Lamed, Kuf Gimel Mem. Six cases, the Gemara says, that we pass them like Abai. So this is one of the six cases. Eid Zaymim is L'Mafreyahu Nifsal. He becomes Pasul Eidus from the day that he testified falsely. But Rove holds not, so he only becomes Pasul Eidus Mikan L'Habor. Absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. The aid who gave Eidah Sheker gave the Eidah Sheker a month ago. He didn't give the Eidah Sheker today. We caught him today. The witnesses testified today that he told a lie a month ago because he wasn't there a month before. He was in Eretz Yisrael. And that Tuesday night that he claims that he saw you lend me the $1,000 in cash. So how in the world are you supposed to understand Rava? So the Gemara says something very cryptic, not to be understood. So the Pashup Shat is that this is the Machloikas Abai v'Rava. Abai holds that the Torah, Eid Zaymim is a Chiddush. The Gemara says, Eid Zaymim is a Chiddush. It's their word against their word. The two Eidim say it's not true. We were not in Eretz Yisrael on that Tuesday night. We were in Queens. You're lying. And they say, no, you're lying. So why do you take their word for it? Maybe they're telling the truth. So the Gemara says, Zerus HaKosu, a Chiddush. Chiddush means it's a Yaitzim min HaKlal. The rule should have been Trey U'Trey. It's their word against the two against two. Like Eidi HaKosu. So it's a Chiddush that we believe the second Eidim. So it's a machlekes Abai v'Rava. What's the nature of the Chiddush? So Abai says, and that's how we pass him, the nature of the Chiddush is that we believe the second pair. We assume the first pair is a lie. So if you believe the second pair, it means that we were mevarer that the first pair of Edim gave Eidah Sheker a month ago. If we were mevarer that they gave Eidah Sheker a month ago, so they become postulators a month ago. Rava says, no, it's still Trey U'Trey. You don't know who's telling the truth, telling a lie. The din of Eid Zaymim is a din in Hanhoge. You're noeg according to the second, you're noeg according to the testimony of the second katedim. So since it's the din hanhoga, all din hanhoga are only mikan al habo. There's no, you never have a case of a din hanhoga that's chal l'mafre. All din hanhoga mikan al habo. That says in Yerideya, there's a funny din in Yerideya. Let's say, aniser fell into a little chazer schmaltz, fell into a pot of soup, and you have shishim. And the people who were in the kitchen are not aware They cooked the soup today and they put it away. They cooked the soup for Pesach and they put it away in the freezer. And then they find out on Pesach that the little Chazer Shmaltz fell in. So the Yerideya Paskins, it's based on a Tosefta, the Bittel B'Shishim only takes effect after Yediyas HaTaruvas. Kozman, you didn't realize that there's an issue, it doesn't become Bottle Beroif. After no the HaTaruvas, when you're aware that there's an issue, then it becomes Bottle. What in the world kind of a din is that? How come the Bittel B'Shishim doesn't happen? It happens automatically. It should happen by itself. If you ascertain that there was Shishim. The answer is because when you have a little Chazer Shmaltz, every spoon of soup that you're drinking has a mashu of Chazer Shmaltz in it. And Chatzis Shira is awesome in our Torah. So what kind of business? Why do you say there's a din bit of a shishim? The answer is the Torah says a din hanhoge. If you have an iser fell into a heter and you have a roiv of heter against the iser, so you have the right to act as if it's not there. But in truth it is there. So it's a din hanhoge. It's not a birur that there's no Chazer Shmaltz. It's a beer that you don't taste it. If there's shishim against a chazer shmaltz, you won't taste it. So what if you can't taste it? So what? But it's still there. You know that, you know, bevados, every spoon of soup that you're going to swallow, you're swallowing some chazer shmaltz. The answer is, the Torah says, adin hanhoge bitl b'shishim, you have a right to act, to be noyeg, as if it's no problem. So if it's adin hanhoge, all din hanhoge are only mekana labo.
Didn't you say the last time that Rove is not Midian, the Machlok is Shimonay and the Chamim, that appointed Chamim Rove is not a Hanhaga, but it's a Birur?
Rove is a Birur.
But now you're saying
no, Bittel Birur. No, Bittel Birur is a Dinah.
It is Bittel Birur. What you're talking about
when a boy and a girl, I don't know if they're Okar, I don't know if they're Soros or Islanders, that's not Bittel Birur, that's Hochem Achar HaRoiv. That's Azlina Basaruba. That roiv is a birur. When a little chazer shmatz falls in and is bought to b'shishim, I know bevados, every spoon of soup that I swallow has a little bit of chazer shmatz. You can't say there's a birur, there's no chazer shmatz. The vada is chazer shmatz. But it's a din hanhoge, bitl b'roiv. You have a right to act as if there were no chazer shmatz. But azlinim basarube, to be mevara that the kotn and the ktana are not soris and not islanders, that's a birur. That we assume that whatever the likelihood is, whatever the probability is, is mevarid. That's the facts. Those are the facts of the case.
So in the case of the soup, the bittul only takes effect once you discover the chazer in
it? Yeah,
so
yeah.
If people ate from that pot before, and people ate after, the ones before are no good?
Right. That says it's in Yerideya. And the source for that is a tosefta. The Vilna Gaon quotes, the source is a tosefta. Surprising din? Very surprising. There are three dinim of roiv. There's one din, hochem achar haroiv, By the Kotna and the Ktana, we assume that they're not Soros, that they're not islanders. And there's a din of Bittel Beroiv, totally different din. It's Vaday I'm eating Chazer Shmaltz. I'm going to eat the whole bowl, I'm going to eat the whole pot of soup, I ate a whole kazais of Chazer Shmaltz. But since I can't taste it, it's Bottle B'Shishim, so the Halacha says I have a right to ignore it. That's a din Hanhoga Bittel Beroiv. Then there's a third din of Ruba Kukuloi, which is unrelated to this. On Pesach night, you have to drink Abakosis. So l'chatchilah should drink kol hakos. So the Gemara says, but even if you drink rov hakos, ruva kekuloi, or when you shech the behemah, you have to shech the kona and the veshed, you have to shech the windpipe and the food pipe. So if you only shechted 51% of the kona, 51% of the veshed, so that's also good. Ruva kekuloi. There are three different dinim. Ruva kekuloi is one din, and azlina basaruba, the rov is mavar what the facts of the case are, and you say bittel beroiv, three different dinim.
More question. The Gemara concludes that we follow the
road
that the paraduma is not a treifa because most cows are not treifas. The paraduma itself is inherently not a regular cow.
Why is it not a regular?
It's red. That's why it's a paraduma.
No, they breed them. In Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut every year buys another paraduma. They have, just like they have books where they have listing of automobiles, what kind of automobiles, used automobiles, whatever you want to buy, they have a listing. So I have a listing of cows. So if you want to buy a cow that's all red, you buy it from, I think, from the area near Holland or something over there, Netherlands or somewhere. They have a listing where to buy paraduma. So the Rabbanut every year buys a paraduma just in case Mashiach will come. And they'll have a paraduma ready. Once it's after the third birthday, once it's too old, so they have to buy a new one. But every year they write in the paper, they keep on buying paradumas.
So there are, I thought there was never a true paraduma.
No. They grow them like that. They're different colors. You can buy, they breed them like that. in the books where they tell you if you want to buy a parah aduma, they go in. They tell you if you want to buy a parah aduma, buy from that country. Yeah. Has to have parah aduma, has to be loyal aleha. Oh, you never used it to do any work with it, so they have to buy it when it's born to make sure that no one did any work with it. Shouldn't be a balmum. Okay, all the different deed. So this is a famous Taisus. This the Harifas of Taisus. Taisus Gefrakta Akasha. How can they prove from Parah Aduma that you go Basa Roiv, that the Roiv tells you it's not a Trefa? Maybe Parah Aduma is based on Chazaka, because the fact, the sure it has to be 1 year old. Either it has to be after the first birth or after the second birth. Either it's Parah Bashtaim or Parah Bashalosh. But for sure it's after the first birthday. So after it's 1 year old, if you hold like that opinion, that trefa ain't a chaya, that it, if it would have been a trefa, it wouldn't have survived 12 months. So on the first birthday, you see that it wasn't a trefa a year ago, and you don't know whether it developed the trefa, so shtel of the chazok, and chazok we already know from Yudam and Beis. So how can you prove that you're going basal roi from Paraduma? Or you can prove that you go basal chazok, that we know already go basal chazok. So Tosis gives two answers. So this one answer, this is the famous answer. Kol chazoka shlan is bara b'shaita, ain't a chazoka. Chazoka is not a birur. You don't know what the facts are. Rav is a birur, but chazoka is not a birur. Chazoka is a din hanhoge. So din hanhoge is, if you don't know what the facts are, however you were noig yesterday, you continue to be noig like that today. But a year ago, you didn't know how to be noig. So you weren't noig anything a year ago. Now I discover on the first birthday that I discover now that the animal was not a treif a year ago, but I couldn't be knowing anything a year ago. I did not b'shas ma'isim, so that's not valid for a chazaka.
The point is just kind of it had to be at least 2 years old, then it would be good. The chazaka from by paraduma wasn't the machlokes, but it was from 1 to 2.
Right.
Once you're entering the third year, so to speak,
and at the end of the first year.
You
I know it wasn't a treifa
right.
A year ago.
Now you wait one more full year, then it would be good at chazaka?
Keep it for 2 years.
I don't think so.
No.
Now I know that at the first birthday, I know it wasn't a treifa a year ago. Maybe it developed the treifas in the middle.
So it never works.
Never works. So it must be based on roif. That's something more proved that you follow roif. Then the next mandama says, the first three makairis, they didn't like. And then these makaris they think are good. So three lines from the bottom of the Gemara. The din is on Yom Kippur, you have to take shnei se'irei izim, and you shecht one as a soil Hashem, and the other one is a soil Azazel. So the soil Hashem is a korban. And all korbanas can't be a trefa. The soil Azazel, that's not a normal korban. So that Gemara Menachas Dafhei that Rashi quoted, that all karbanis cannot be a trefa, that's a carbon that you bring in the Beis HaMikdash. So we extended it even to paraduma because chatas karachman. We extended it to egla rufa because kaparik sebok kachim. Why should you extend it to the sor hamishtaleach? Why should you extend it to sor hamishtaleach? So the Gemara says no, because you have to draw lots. You have to have Shnei Siri Yom Kippurim. So not only do you need that the Soil Hashem should be not a treifa. Soil Hashem is going to be a chattas in the Beis HaMikdash. You need that the Soil Azazel also cannot be a treifa because you have to draw lots. Maybe this one will turn out to be the Soil Hashem, maybe that one. So if one of them is going to be a treifa, so it's not right to be the Soil Hashem. So you need both of the Shnei Sirim. Cannot be treifa. They both have to, neither can be a treifa. Neither can be a treifa. See, the soil Hashem that you bring in the Beis HaMikdash, you can cut it up later on to check to see if it's a treifa. By Korban Oila, there's a din. You need Tachosel in Sacher. There's a din Korban Oila, Hefshet Vinituch. You have to remove the hide, and then you cut it up into specific sizes. You can't cut it up in what? On the soil Hashem, there's no such din. Soil Hashem, you cut up all you want. So you can check later on to see if it's going to be a treifa or not. But the soyer hamishtaleach, that you can't check. So that was the Gemara asking, how do you know that the soyer hamishtaleach is nishken treifa? The Gemara says, well, what does it bother you if it is a treifa? What does it bother you? The Gemara says, no. here the second line from the top of Amid Beis. The Chitemi will say, my nafkelon minor, what do I care? No one's going to eat the soyer hamishtaleh. The soyer Hashem is a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash. That's a chatos. So we know from Menachas Hafei, all carbonus in the Beis Hamikdash cannot be treifer. The soyer mishtaleh, what does it bother me, even if it is a treifer? I says, no. Ain't a girl kaveya. If you're drawing lots, one is going to be a Sohar Hashem. You can't rig it. You have to draw lots in an honest fashion. So they both have to be right to become the Sohar Hashem. So you need, neither should be a treifa. So the Sohar Hashem, I can check it. After I shecht it, before I'm Zorek the Dam, I can cut it up into little tiny pieces. No din of Hepshet v'nituach. It's not an oil. So you can cut it up in tiny pieces. It'll take all day long on Yom Kippur. Someone's going to sit and spend a couple of hours to make sure that the Soar Lashem is not a treifa. But the Soar Mishtaleach, there's no way to check it. You have to push it over the cliff while it's still alive. You can't check Zeya. Then what are you going to check? After you pushed it over the cliff, then you're going to check. And if it's going to turn out that it was a treifa, you're going to do it over again. The Gemara says when it falls over the cliff, it gets torn apart into so many little pieces, it's physically impossible to check it. So the Gemara says, so how do you ever have a Soar Hamishtaleach? So obviously you go basar, right? We have established you go basar. That was the proof. Ravacha, what is it? Ravacha by Yankif Omar. Asya, we derived the principle, you follow right? Misari Mishtalech. The Rachman Omar. Torah says, v'lokach shnei hasirim. What do you mean shnei hasirim? Shehu shneim shovim. You need that they should both be similar. Neither can be a treifa. Freg the Gemara, and how do you know that it's not v'lechish? Dil mechad menai treifa. Maybe it's going to be a treifa. So the Soar Hashem, you can check. After you shecht it, you'll check before you zark the dump. In Soar Mishtalech, you have to push it over the cliff while it's still alive, so you can't check it. What does it bother me? Soar Mishtalech, no one's going to eat it anyway, and it's not a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash. Gemara says, wrong. Ain't a girl karel, azazel, ela b'davar roi, l'Hashem. You need that they should both be roi to be turned out to be the Soar Hashem. Maybe you'll say you'll check it after you push it over the cliff. And it gets killed, so then you'll check it. Then you can cut it up into little pieces. And if it turns out that it's a treif, you'll do it over again. So the Gemara says, no. After you push it over the cliff, no. But the Mishnah describes in Yuma, when the Soar Mishtalech was rolling down the mountain, when he reached halfway down, it already got ripped apart into tiny little pieces. It's physically impossible to check. Huh? So the Gemara proved that there's a din, you go basaroy. Then the Gemara is going to quote more proofs, more and more proofs. That's the halacha, you go basaroy. You have a lot of psukim that you go basaroy.
Okay.
Not a kasha, he's asking. What's the mocker in the Chumash? It's good to know the mocker of every din. So he says, we have a whole bunch of makaris that you follow.
He said that check a treifa,
speak a treifa. It's not a kasha that there was a havamina. Just he's talking, he's explaining it. Instead of saying it as a, he says it as a question and answer. Instead of saying it as a fact, he says, and maybe do this. The answer is that we don't speak like that today. But that's in the days of the Gemara. That's how they spoke. Everything was a question and an answer. We would say, we wouldn't have said it as a question. We would have said, and there's no way to check because it's going to be ripped off into tiny little pieces. That's the way they spoke. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Lineta, next week we'll give a shiur, and then after that we got weddings. So I can't give a shiur. In this week's Seder, the Torah has the pasuk. Torah has a din of nisach hayayin. Whenever you bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, a lot of the korbanos you have to bring minchas v'nisken kemeduber. You have to bring nisach hayayin. You have to pour wine down the pipes in the side of the mizbeach. You have to bring a korban mincha also. Usually a korban mincha, you do kmitza, you burn the kmitza, and then the shiori ha-mincha, what's left over after the kmitza, you give to the kohanim that they should eat. But minchas v'niskeyem, the minchas nesachem, the mincha that comes in conjunction with the wine, that you don't do a kmitza, then you burn the whole mincha and shine. So the pasuk says that this din that you have to bring, minchas v'nesachem, applies to a person who was born Jewish or to a ger, the din is the same. Mishpatecha yelachem Torachas, Mishpatech yelachem Elagir hagor b'yatzachem. The din is all the same. So the Gemara has a comment in Yevamos in the sugya of Geiris, that when a non-Jew wants to convert, has to be done. It has to be mekabel all mitzvahs, and he goes to the mikveh in the presence of a bezin of three. Ger tzarich shloisha. How do you not need a bezin of three? Because it says mishpat, mishpat tzibbe. Just like a din Torah, when a ger is converting, there's no money, there's no din Torah. But just like in a din Torah of din imaminis and mishpat, you need a bezin of three. So when a ger wants to convert, you also mishpat tzibbe, you need a bezin of three. That's the gemara. So the Achrenim are bothered with a kasher. Rabbi Shul Akutna had this. He was a famous, he was one of the prominent rabbanim who made the het to mechira for the Shnas HaShmita. He was a goyin agoyinim at the end of the 1800s. He was a rabbi in Kutna. So he has in his Sefer HaChoshim Mishpat, Yeshuas Yisrael, so he has the following two kashas. He says, all the dinim of Geras are derived from Maimon HaSinai. Just like in Maim Hasin, all the men had a bris milah before Yitzias Mitzrayim. So when a ger wants to convert, he has to first have a bris milah. And then right prior to Maim Hasin, everybody went to mikveh. In the Chumash, it sounds only like the married people. A balkeri, falet, shech, was everything. The Gemara explains how even the single people, everybody had to go to mikveh. And then they brought a bin korban at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu brought a special korban. Your forefathers, our ancestors, on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, underwent Geirus. That was the Geirus of all of Klal Yisrael, Maimon HaSinai. So how did they do it? Milo, Tvilo, and Korban. So to the Doris, we learn now from a pasuk the model of being Mekabel Geirim, and there was Kabbalah on mitzvahs. They said, they all said Nasu and Ishma. So you had Kabbalah on mitzvahs, you had Milo for the men, and Tvilo and Korban. So that's how you establish Geirus. You don't find anywhere in Chazal that there was a Bezin on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. Who was the Bezin? Bezin has to be somebody other than the Ger. There's nobody else there. Who, the Goyim? The Goyim who are watching. Who's going to be the Bezin? All the Jews were undergoing Geirus. So how can you say you require a Bezin? All the other Dinim of Geirus are based on Maimon HaSinai. And here at Maimon HaSinai there was no Bezin. In fact, that Tzveta Kasha is, if you're learning out from Maimon HaSinai, Geirus is a contract between the Rabbanu Shel Olam and the non-Jew. He commits himself to observe the Rabbanu Shel Olam's mitzvahs. So you had that both parties were there. There was a Gilu Shechina in Maimon HaSinai. The Shechina was clearly there. And then there were the Gerim were there. So the both parties were there. How do you know you have a right to be Mekabel Ger Bizman HaZef? There's no Gilu Shechina. Where's the other party? It's a contract. So you have to have two parties for the contract. So he has a whole Shtikl Torah. One kasha becomes faremfut with the other kasha. Zoktam Maimon HaSinai, the Shechina was there, so you didn't need a bezin. The Shechina was there and the Gerim were there. But Ludoiras, if you have a Gil Shechina, you won't need a bezin. But usually you don't have a Gil Shechina, so you need a bezin to represent the Shechina. So the bezin is to represent the Tzad HaSheni. So what's the role of the bezin? That's interesting. What's the role of the bezin? The bezin has to agree to accept the Ger. He talks about a shayla. Let's say the three Rabbanim are sitting by the lake, and they're reading the Morgen Journal, or they're talking, learning, whatever. And then a goy jumps into the mikveh, he jumps into the lake, and he says, I want to be Megayer, and I want you to be my Bezin, I'm jumping in. They say, we don't know who you are, we don't want to have anything to do with you. So let's say a man gives a ring to a girl, and says, I am Mekudeshesli, and the Edom there. He says, I'm Mekadesh the girl, I want you to be the Edom. They say, we don't want to be the Edom. What do you mean you don't want to be the Edom? It doesn't matter whether you want to be the Edom. Man says, I am Mekudeshesli, gives her a ring. The Edom are watching, she's married. Doesn't matter whether they agree. So the fellow jumps into the mikveh and he says, he already had a bris milah before, he already had kabbalas on mitzvahs. Now he says, I'm jumping into the mikveh. You're watching. They say, we don't want to watch. We don't want to. Yeah, but they are watching. So he proves from halacha, from Gemaras, that it's no good. That the bezdin represents the Shechina. That's the Tzad HaSheni. They have to agree to accept him as a ger. That's how Rabbi Shaul Kutner writes. The Beis Halevi Achumish has a little differently. He says that the ger who converts, it says in the Megillas Rus, when Naomi was carrying on a conversation with Rus Amavia that she should convert, so she finally says, Amechami velakayach alakoy, I accept to join into the Jewish people. Amechami. So the Beis Halevi says, the Bezdin represents Klal Yisrael to this. Rabbi Shaul Kutner says the Bezdin represents the Shechina. So they have to paskin, we representing the Rabbanu Shel Olam accept you as a ger. The Beis Halevi says the Bezdin represents Klal Yisrael, because the ger has to say, Amechami, want to join Klal Yisrael. So you have to have a representation Bezdin represents the Jewish people. We accept you as a member of our nation. So the same word. Let's say the Bezdin will say, we don't like you. We don't want to accept you as a Jew. It's not like Eid Kiddushin. It doesn't matter whether the Eidim are happy about the Shidduch, not happy. The Eidim are watching. The man gave a ring to the girl. You have two kosher Eidim. So the woman is Mekodeshes. But the Bezdin over here, it's not just a Bezdin Lekimah. The Bezdin plays an active role. Either according to the Yeshua Lekut, and the Bezdin represents the Shechina in accepting the gear, or according to the Beis Halevi, the Bezdin represents Klal Yisrael in accepting the gear. So the Bezdin has to make a decision. Do they think that the fellow is a proper candidate? They have to say a day. Do they think that he's an acceptable candidate? Sometimes you have a couple doesn't have any children, so they want to adopt a child. So the father who's going to adopt the child is not related to the child. There's Nishkin Karev. He's going to adopt the child. Can he serve as a member of the Bezin? He's a religious Jew. Can he serve as a member of the Bezin? So we usually don't have him serve as a member of the Bezin. Why not? He's not a Karev. So the answer is, the way we assume that the Bezin has to make a decision here, it's a Bezin that's paskening, either representing the Shechina that we're masking to accept him, or the Bezin is representing Klal Yisrael that we want to accept him. So if they have to make a decision, so if you have a din, a person who's on a Ger B'dover is possible to serve as a Dayan, and a Ger is possible as a Dayan, and a Ger B'dover is possible to serve as an aide. See, the adoptive father, he wants to go through with this conversion. He adopted the child and wants it to be a Jewish child, doesn't want to be a Goyish child. So he, of course he's going to say, with the eyes closed, he's not going to think so much. Of course he's going to say, I want the child to be converted to become Jewish. So that's not right. You should not be Mitzaref, the adoptive father, to serve as a member of the Bezin. This is an issue that the Rabbanim have been pilfering about for the last 100 years. So these two Gdolim, the Beis Halevi and Rabbi Shaul Akutin, they both think that the Bezin plays an active role over here. Rabbi Shaul Akutin holds the Bezin represents the Shechina, and the Beis Halevi Achumish holds that the Bezin represents Klal Yisrael. It's a different kind of a Bezin. Okay, next week we'll learn that. We'll learn the Gemara.
Why was there a chiyuv on Boaz? After Machlon died, she was still a Moabiyah.
Goya, yeah.
So why was there a chiyuv of Yibum on Boaz?
Yeah. The Ramban HaChumash says it was Yibum. So that's a fella. How can it be Yibum? She wasn't Jewish.
Right.
So they assumed that there was some kind of conversion. So what do you learn out of all the dinim of conversion now? She's walking home. But the Ragachava gives some kind of a complicated answer. It's not easy to understand.
It's about 15% of couples are infertile.
15%?
Yeah, but that means they're not islandless and serious because they can be medically treated.
Yeah.
And that means.
How about cells and
islands?